You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Come on down, come off the ledge, Packer fans. Boy, we thought we were going to talk NFL draft, and we are going to talk NFL draft with you here today. Welcome into the gym class here in KGYM at 5 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass today. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. NFL Draft, round number one, comes up tonight starting at 6 o'clock. The coverage from ESPN Radio, and that will be on all of our frequencies coming up this evening. We're joining you right now, 1600 AM, along with 102.3 in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, KGYM Radio Stream, mobile app, and, of course, your smart speaker as well. And if you have missed anything from our show, as well as the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn over the past week or so, even beyond that, you can revisit those conversations, and you can do so via our podcasts, which are available at kgymradio.com, as well as Apple or Spotify. And we thank you for joining us. Not only NFL draft talk, NFL talk today, but Scott Docterman will join us. He covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic. We'll talk about Jordan Bohannon's decision to come back. We'll talk about what it means to the Iowa basketball team, and talk about spring football as another chance for the public to see the Hawks coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you again. That is 319-366-1600. And don't forget, ongoing throughout the day, pardon our interruption here on KGYM Sports Radio 1600, as well as 102.3, 106.3 FM, and 107.5 FM. We're going to be interrupting your favorite hosts each weekday to give you a shot at winning $1,000. All you need to do is, when we interrupt any show here on the gym with the cash keyword, head to kgymradio.com and enter that hour's keyword for your chance to win $1,000. And there are multiple times to win on multiple frequencies right here at KGYM. And you can go to our website, kgymradio.com, to get all of the details about that. Details starting to come out. Rumors, it started off with Mark. Good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Rumors starting about circulating pretty hot and heavy about an hour ago, coming out of Green Bay, that a certain all-pro quarterback is not happy with what is going on and would like out of Green Bay. That, of course, being Aaron Rodgers. Not only a Packer quarterback at the moment, but also one of the finalists for the Jeopardy job. They haven't given that job yet, have they? Buttons, have they given that job yet? Jeopardy, okay. I didn't miss that then. But he did very well as far as his Jeopardy audition is concerned. But at any rate, this coming out on the day of the draft, probably not a big coincidence, but I don't know. What do we make of this? Is this a thing, or is this the rumor mill blowing up? It looks like there is a little bit of smoke, Mark, and when there's smoke, there's fire usually.
I don't think this is a smokescreen by any means. And this it's just ironic that this news is filtering out on draft day. The news about Aaron Rodgers saying he does not want to return to play for the Green Bay Packers has been going on for a while, apparently, and reading many stories. His agent has been in Green Bay multiple times to try to iron out differences. And the president and GM and head coach of the Packers have been visited Rodgers in California trying to iron things out. The fact that he's disgruntled, Jay Glazer, One of the insiders in the NFL says it's a lot of it has to do with the front office. He doesn't like anybody in the front office. Is irked about the way that he wants a contract extension. I believe he has 2 years left on his current contract, but Rodgers not getting any satisfaction in that regard either. But I also think that the Packers have not done him any favors in terms of getting weapons. You got Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, but Rodgers sat on the bench and watched Tom Brady and his variety of weapons, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, so on and so forth. You know, Rodgers saying, hey, what gives? You know, why can't I have those kinds of weapons? And where it leads, I don't know. In the next couple, 3 hours, will anything pop up? Some teams have expressed interest, tried to make a deal, but no offers for Rodgers. Listen to me. You're not getting a 27-year-old Aaron Rodgers. You're getting a 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And while he's great, and I underscore great, how many years does he have left in the NFL? Is he going to play into his early 40s like Tom Brady? I don't think anybody really knows whether he wants to do that. But it's certainly an interesting situation that has propped up.
Yeah. Yes, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from Packer fans on the text line. Let's get to this text first of all, 0835, letting us know it'd be $31 million in dead money if traded before June the 1st. Aaron Rodgers wants an extension. Green Bay has just been trying to restructure. Think the Packers have to give the extension now if they have no desire to trade him. But I hope the Green Bay quarterback situation is not in serious jeopardy. Thank you.
Very clever.
Thank you, 0835. This could be like, whose line is it anyway? I'm throwing you 5,000 points for that one. That's a good one. Listen,
is Bill Belichick on the line?
Well, but
who is on the line? Who is on the line?
Who is
trying
on,
to make a deal?
Right. Here is what the Packers, you're not going to make a rash decision in 2 hours, are you? I mean, granted, they've got a plan. You better have a plan if you're the front office of the Green Bay Packers and what you're going to do. But just because Aaron Rodgers and all this is broke today, I guess, you're not going to go, okay, that's it. Find somebody. Let's go. Let's turn it around. Let's get this thing taken care of. And coming out of here tonight, trading Aaron Rodgers and going in a complete different direction with a rookie quarterback. I mean, that's going to be very, very tough to do, granted. We'll see, but I don't expect anything to happen this evening. And perhaps it's just a push by Aaron Rodgers to get a new contract, not just a renegotiation as far as things are concerned. 319-366-1600. Yes, the NFC Central starting to weigh in. 1900, the Bears don't need him. They have Andy Dalton.
You just showed your age right there, Scott.
What's that?
The NFC North.
Oh, did I say NFC North? No.
It's Central.
Central. Jeez. What
a, you know, this has been,
the Norris division.
This has been festering for a while. As I outlined, the agent visiting Green Bay, the Green Bay brass going to California. But it's just coming out today, and it makes it very curious. And I wonder what folks think out there. Does Aaron Rodgers have legitimate concerns? Or is he a whiner?
319-366-1600, 8394, Rodgers to San Francisco or Vegas. I do not want to see Aaron Rodgers in the silver and black twice a year. Thank you. 8186, what is Chicago Bears for $31 million? Uh-huh. They've got Dalton. They've got enough quarterbacks. Plus, no. Aaron's not going to get traded to somewhere in the division, so that's just not going to happen. I could definitely see Vegas a million times before seeing somebody like, well, it's not going to be Detroit because they just traded their quarterback for their quarterback with Goff. We'll see. we'll see how this all plays out. But boy, it's fun fodder for the to take us up to 6 o'clock and actually to the first pick, which I think comes up at 7 o'clock tonight, Mark. So we needed something to fill 3 hours today in the news spectrum as far as getting ready for the draft is concerned. And Aaron Rodgers fits it to a T.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And whether the Green Bay organization can acquiesce to Rodgers and repair the damage that apparently has been done remains to be seen. Rodgers has said flatly he does not want to return to Green Bay. Is that a smokescreen or not? Why would he say it if it wasn't true? What can Green Bay do in the meantime? Either try to repair the damage or move on from him.
True. 319-366-1600. More texts coming in. Matt in Fairfax, add Rodgers to the Steelers, and holy cow, that would be scary. They've got Big Ben, though. I know Big Ben's long in tooth, but obviously so is Aaron Rodgers. Joel, our friend Joel in Muscatine, you can have a legitimate gripe and still be a whiner. With that said, send him to Miami.
They have Tua. Come on. They have Tua.
True. We'll see. But I just don't see Aaron Rodgers being moved tonight in a rash move. That's probably naive of me to say, because yeah, I would 98% agree with that would be the case. You don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction to something like this, but maybe something's in the water. Who knows as far as the Green Bay front office is concerned. We'll see.
Got a poll question today at KGYMradio.com dealing with this subject. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thanks, as always, to Steve Anderson and his team doing great work down there since 2003. The question is Aaron Rodgers the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers in 2021? A simple yes or no.
Or is he the host of Jeopardy? Did very well as far as the Jeopardy audition is concerned and the little guest hosting run that he had. Did very, very well, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, it remains. And he had it worked out that he could do both the Jeopardy gig and the quarterback gig. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I would say that, boy, I just cannot picture Aaron Rodgers in another uniform. I just can't.
Yeah, you probably could say the same thing about Joe Montana, right?
Yes. And that was very strange to see when Joe Montana played quarterback for the Chiefs. Got to see him on a couple of occasions. And while I enjoyed it, it was very, very weird and unusual to see Joe Cool playing for the Chiefs out there. Would he fit with the Broncos, 27-94? I think Aaron Rodgers pretty much fit in with more than three-quarters of the teams in the National Football League at this point, don't you think?
Yeah, but what are you willing to give up, too? I mean, that's a huge thing. Again, he's 37 years old, and maybe he's got a lot left in the tank. I have no idea. If he's got 5 years, great. If he's in the Brady category, great. But will he start declining? You know, he needs a line. He needs weapons. I talked about Devontae Adams, his wonderful receiver. Alan Lazard has really come along, but so many teams have so many more weapons than what the Green Bay Packers have on the outside.
Yeah. Joel coming back with us. If you're a Green Bay, unload him. He's unhappy. Find a way to get actual capital for the asset. And maybe that's, maybe that is the case. And maybe the Packers are trying to find a suitor right now. We'll see. And Evan and Bell Plain asking what we asked at the beginning of this conversation, at the beginning of the show. Is this real, or is the NFL putting out, quote, news, unquote, hours before the draft?
I just think there's too many reports out there, which started, I believe, with Adam Schefter, the NFL insider, another insider, Jay Glazer, and right on down the line, Ian Rappaport, very reputable reporters. They have their sources. and have known about the disgruntlement on the part of Rodgers for some time. So, but why it's trending today, I don't know.
Three texters right in a row saying trade the pick. Trade Rodgers for the number three pick to the San Francisco 49ers. Rodgers goes back home. Of course, he's a Cal Golden Bear in college. And the Packers get the number three. They can start over with another quarterback, or they can look to the quarterback they drafted a year ago, which probably didn't help in this whole situation, in this whole elixir, if you will. And San Francisco gets their quarterback. I still think Jimmy Garoppolo is pretty good. I know the 49ers are kind of giving up on Garoppolo, but I, when healthy, I think he's pretty darn good. But we'll see. We'll see.
That's a great variable right there, because he has been injury prone, and no secret that the 49ers are looking for a quarterback, because you can't trust him.
No, got to be in there for all those games now, all 18 weeks, even though you're only playing 17 games. We're about, 10 minutes away from Scott Dochterman at 3:30. Doc always puts out a mock draft. We'll ask him about the Packer situation, and we'll talk about the basketball situation in Iowa City. We'll talk spring football as well coming up in just a little bit at 319-366-1600 as the texts keep flowing in about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and what should happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Matt saying trade into the Bears for Khalil Mack. What do you think about that, Mark, as a Bear fan?
I'd be okay with that, yeah. Yeah.
71-70. Oh, go ahead.
I think the Packers would want a bit more than Khalil Mack, but yeah, I'd do that.
71-76, reminding us that Favre ended up with the Vikings. Anything can happen. That's true. That is true. Our friend Wedge, I'll give the pack Tua and 18th pick. Did we forget Tua? I had two games where he threw for less than 100 yards. No, Miami Dolphin fans have not forgotten about that.
No.
Trust us. We'll find out about that more tonight in a little bit here. Mark and I will anyway. But, it's a little bit of intrigue before the draft gets underway, and that's kind of fun to see. So we'll see if this all plays out, if there's more to it, if Rodgers stays through the draft tonight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, here at 3:22 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And I do want to get to a few other things. We will talk a little bit about the draft, what we think, and your thoughts about what your team might do if you do have a first-round pick coming up tonight. It's a very fun night. There's no doubt about that. The night does drag along, though, Mark. I will say this. I would like to see the time allotted for each team taken down a little bit. But it is what it is, and you can hear it right here on KGYM Radio, all kinds of outlets. It's one of the big events. It has turned into one of the big events of the sports calendar.
It has, and we visited with Chris Liss of RotoWire.com yesterday, and Chris on record is saying he doesn't really follow the NFL draft because it's too long. It's too drawn out. He just wants the results emailed to him, or he'll access it on a website. It is a production. Roger Goodell has his moments, and I think it's kind of creepy. He feels a need to hug all these guys, but at any rate, he's going to do that again this year because he's vaccinated. I think it's too long as well, but so are the Oscars.
That is true. Even this year. 319-366-1600. 3148 has to be a fan of another NFC divisional foe because lets us know reality is about to slap the Packers in the mouth. They've been spoiled with Favre and then Rodgers. Welcome to mediocrity. Well, if they move Rodgers, guy they bring in, if it's one of these rookies, could be the next guy. Who knows? Who knows?
They took Jordan Love in the first round. I mean, they thought enough of him to draft him in the first round, to the chagrin of most people,
including Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So what do you make of Love then? What's Love got to do with it anyway?
What does Love got to do with it? Thank you. Thank you, Tina Turner. 319-366-1600, 25 past 3. There is other things going on today. First round of the Valspar going on down at Innisbrook outside of Tampa, Florida. Our favorite golfer in Cedar Rapids, Zach Johnson, playing today, and he is on the course right now, correct?
He is, and doing well. He has completed 11 holes at 4 under par. Played the back nine first, then the front. 3 under on the front, and birdied the par 5 10th. Now on the par 4 third hole. Currently tied for 7th, and 3 strokes back of leader Keegan Bradley. That mini tour hero, who was a video phone call to his father, went kind of viral. Michael Vasacki, playing in his first ever PGA Tour event. Imagine the nerves. Well, he birdied his first hole.
Yes, he did.
But then struggled a bit, but did finish at plus 3, 74. Not great, but not a huge embarrassment. He beat several regulars on the PGA Tour today.
Yes, including 2019 U.S. Open champion Gary Woodland by 4 shots today.
Yeah.
Who shot 7 over 78, I did notice today. Beat Kevin, he beat several guys. Ches Reavie, one of them. Better score than that, gentlemen. But, yeah, not too bad. Par 5 to start off with, which certainly helped, and got that birdie. Good up and down out of the bunker, and then had 3 in a row, I think. But got it back on track, and I think fared very well today. It's going to have
statistically. Yeah, statistically, it wasn't bad at all. And missed some potential birdie putts in the 10, 15 foot range. I think he acquitted himself quite well.
Very true. Very, very true. 319-366-1600. Coming up 27 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. As I mentioned, we'll talk more about the draft, maybe a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers as well, coming up in just a little bit. One more before we get to a break here, 0835. If we are trading Rodgers, this from a Packer fan, obviously, it has to be for multiple number first-round picks and a quarterback. I wonder if Jacksonville would get on the phone. No. Jacksonville's pick. And Jacksonville will take all the time off the clock, and then they'll just, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
You see, our friend Mia O'Brien got her a makeover today for the NFL draft. Did you see that on Twitter today?
I did not see that. Yeah. I'll have to look into it. Mia, of course, was in Cedar Rapids for quite some time and won an NCAA tournament bracket, a media bracket with us, and been on the air a couple times now in Jacksonville. And it'd be a big night to cover Jacksonville sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to it. 328, we are looking forward to talking to Scott Docterman of The Athletic, and lots of news this week and coming up yet as far as Iowa Hawkeye athletics are concerned. So we'll talk with Doc when we come back. You're listening to the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here at 28 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in today. Back with more after this.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The boys' track and field team won the team title at the Albernette meet last Friday. The Xavier girls soccer team bested Jefferson 10-0 at Kingston Stadium Tuesday. Junior Mary Claire Bean led the Saints with 3 goals. The Xavier boys soccer team fell to the Jayhawks 2-1, and both teams will take on Dubuque Hempstead today. The 10-0 top-ranked Xavier boys tennis team kept their winning streak rolling Tuesday with a 9-0 win over number 2 Wallert. The girls' tennis team also picked up the 9-0 win over Wallert on Tuesday. Both teams face Dubuque Senior today. And the 2021-22 Xavier football schedule was released this week. The season begins August 27th as the Saints welcome Western Dubuque to town.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company, family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our menu is just as tempting. That's why friends always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. Stop in today with your favorite people. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Welcome back home.
The Colonels are back after 603 days without a game, and it's time to party at the park. Opening night for your Cedar Rapids Colonels is Tuesday, May 4th. Get ready for exciting Colonels baseball, fresh popcorn, tasty hot dogs, ice cold beverages, and fireworks after every Saturday game. Great seats are still available for games this season, so visit colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
This is Colonels manager Brian Dinkelman. We'll see you at the ballpark for exciting entertainment for the whole family this summer.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you at 3:31 here on the Gym Class Thursday edition, coming your way at KGYM. First round coverage of the NFL draft tonight, starting at 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies. Looking forward to that, as we know there's not much drama unless something strange happens with Green Bay trading that pick or Jacksonville trading the pick. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence, folks. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. He's going to go to Jacksonville, and everyone's going to be wearing the Trevor Lawrence haircut in Duval County down there. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think that is the worst-kept secret as far as the world is concerned on this April the 29th. And we're going to leave the NFL draft just for a moment, but we'll talk a little bit about it coming up with Doc. But Scott Dochterman from The Athletic covers the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kind enough to join us here in the Thursday edition of the program. Happy draft day to you.
You know, this is like a holiday for me. I've been a draft nick for, close to 40 years. I remember in the mid-80s, I was late to school one day because they used to air it at like 7 in the morning on a Tuesday, and I was watching it there, and I've followed it ever since, mostly in a working capacity in the last 20-plus years, but it's been, I'm always excited for it, and we've got a major, in our company, it's a major push for all of our silos, so it's a big deal.
We both have favorite teams that reside in the NFC North. What do you make of the Aaron Rodgers drama today?
Well, what a thing to be released, huh? I wonder if they were trying to work that out behind the scenes, or Green Bay probably drug its feet, and then I'm sure it was his agent who probably said, "Hey, we want out. We're tired of this," and that's why it leaked today. And holy smokes, what a change in the scenery if that ever happens. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of destinations that would be that could work for him, especially at this point in the cap hit. But it's a heck of a thing to leak on draft day, and this is probably when his leverage is the best for him and the Packers. So if that changes, I don't think he's going to be coming south with our Bears, Mark. But he's probably – you know, I could see somebody like the Raiders or, you know, jump it up, trade Derek Carr, one this year, or one next year, or something like that for him, and be with John Gruden. But it's been pretty wild, no doubt.
Yeah, it is. And you put out a mock draft, and I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to do so because you go from hour to hour. Oh, there could be a trade, and now we got Aaron Rodgers drama going on. But you do your best, right, to try to put things into perspective and and line everything up according to what teams' needs are concerned.
Yeah, it's really difficult, especially once you get out of certain picks in certain areas, just because you don't know how the draft is going to change. I mean, look at what we just found out about Aaron Rodgers. What if the 49ers, for instance, trade for him, and then they are able, and then Green Bay, you'll take a tight end, and then the whole draft kind of goes to pot from there. But what I really try to do more than anything else is, follow a lot of the experts that I think we all respect. Dan Shaka locally is as good as it gets. With me at The Athletic, Dane Brugler, and those two in particular, I really kind of follow and chart how they rank most of these players. And then also what I try to do is kind of look at fits. And Davion Nixon is one. He's kind of fallen a bit, but I still think of him as like a second rounder. And I try to figure how does his skill set play with a potential team. You don't want him necessarily to say, okay, he's going to be with a 3-4 team, but I think he should be more of a 4-3 guy. And I looked at Dallas and the way that Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, the new one, the way he played with Seattle not that long ago when they won the Super Bowl. And then also just the Dallas was horrible on defense and he would make it an immediate need. So, and I kind of went up and down the draft that way. At the end, it's just kind of like, hey, let's just put a team down and have some fun. But still, I do try to do a lot of homework and research and look at the teams, their salary cap situations, who's there, what's their depth like. So I do a lot of, digging into it, and most of it, of course, goes for naught.
Scott, let's talk about other Hawkeye possibilities. I want to get your thoughts on Alaric Jackson because you cover the Hawks, you follow the NFL draft. We talked to Dan Shronka about him on Monday, and Dan thought he was probably inconsistent at best. And his draft stock might have been higher as a freshman than it is now. What are your observations on Jackson?
Yeah, I noticed through the wash that he's really been taken down quite a bit. And yeah, there were some inconsistencies, but it wasn't as noticeable to me covering this team as it is when you really start looking play to play. And I think a lot of it is just simply being able to stick with defenders. And that's why I most of the time I kind of scoff when people start saying, oh, he can kick inside the guard. But I think in this case, that's probably the best bet for him is to do something like that. I imagine he's probably mid to low tier. He's still, I think, going to get drafted. Somebody's going to say, look, this guy started for 4 years at left tackle at Iowa. He's played in his own blocking scheme. He knows what he's doing. Let's get him in here and see if he can do something. I can't imagine him lasting, say, past the sixth round. But, I think fit is probably helpful. I think Minnesota would be a great fit for him just because they run the same type of scheme. They need linemen. He'd be a good fit there. But it's been a little bit of a surprise. I didn't see him perform that poorly, especially for a team that, ran the ball so well. That was their best running year by yards per carry Iowa's had since 2008. So I thought he had a really good year, but apparently when you peel the layers of the onion back, it wasn't quite as good as what a lot of experts think.
Well, it's like a yo-yo as far as evaluations in the NFL. Especially, and you can go up, you can go down. And if you just, like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head. If you find the right situation that you can go into, whether you're drafted or even a free agent, and I think we may see that with some Iowa players this year, a little bit more than usual perhaps. But if you find the right situation for your needs, you're going to do okay.
Yeah, and that's the fun part, and that's the part I try to identify, and I hope that I think that's what the players will as well. Let's take a real local guy, Sean Beyer. I think he's a drafted player. I think he's a sixth to seventh round guy. And it really, when you get into that type of positioning in the draft, you've got teams that are willing to just kind of waste picks. I mean, Minnesota's got picks coming out of their ears. It's hard to say if half of them will even make the team. But if you're like the Los Angeles Rams and you've got your top, say, 48 already figured out, but you need a backup tight end, and he's a plug-and-play guy. Maybe he's not going to go to the Pro Bowl like the other Iowa tight ends. But you know what you get. You're going to get a solid blocker, a guy who can catch things. But if he went to, say, Minnesota, where they have a ton of picks, or somebody else who consistently trades out of their picks, you know, it might be tougher for him, even if he's good enough to make the team, and it might be kind of cycling around for a year or two. So it's about fit. It's about scheme. It's about location. There's just, you know, and coaching, because, you know, we've seen good Iowa players go to bad spots, at least fit-wise. I think Robert Gallery was the worst. You know, if he would have went to a different team, been a much more successful player. I'm not saying he would have been a Pro Bowler, or certainly not a Hall of Famer, but I think he would have been a really good player. But Oakland had terrible coaching at the time for that position, and it made him look bad. So I think that really is a big factor right now in where a lot of these guys go.
Iowa has not had a great history by any means with wide receivers in the NFL and the NFL draft, but Iowa has two prospects in Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset. Where do you think they will land, and do they have a future?
Yeah, I've heard a lot on Amir. I've had conversations with his agent and other people that really think that he could go as high as, say, early fourth round or even late third. And I think that's probably a bit ambitious, but he does have a different skill set that really translates. That is, he has blazing speed, and he is an elite kickoff returner. So a team that needs, say, a fourth or even fifth wide receiver and somebody who can return, he's a perfect fit for somebody, and I think he's got a chance to stick with a team. I don't know that he's refined enough as a receiver to be a guy that's going to, that if that was all he did, that he would make the roster. But I think he's got a chance. And Brandon Smith, I think maybe in a little bit of the other side of it, is he's got a lot of different traits and skills, and certainly, you know, he's got the physique and the jumping ability, but his resume is a little bit light. He's specific to a certain position on the field, you know, kind of your more split end X position. So I think it might be a little more difficult road for him. And I kind of see a path for him kind of like with Allen Lazard, where I thought Allen would certainly get drafted from Iowa State. It didn't happen. But, you know, he worked his way in, and now he's, you know, in a good situation in Green Bay. I could see Brandon being the same way. Maybe he's a really late draft pick, and maybe he ends up on a practice team for a year and then just kind of continues to work and gets his way in somewhere. But I think they both have the opportunity and will catch passes in the NFL, which, you know, of course, hasn't really happened for a long time for an Iowa receiver.
Yeah. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic joining us here on Thursday, edition of the Gym Class here at 342 on KGYM. Let's get to this year's crop of Iowa football players one more time in front of the public eye and the media's eye, and I guess anyone who wants to come to Iowa City's eye this Saturday. Tyrone Tracy was the star of the first public workout. I would imagine he will definitely do well this week, but it remains to be seen, I guess, who will be the star of this particular practice.
Oh, sure. You know, we don't really know, and I like it when it kind of happens that way, which was really organic. It was just through the scheme of the offense and the way it was played, and Tyrone Tracy just was, you know, sensational, frankly. I mean, he was as good as I've seen, especially going against a really good secondary. I mean, this wasn't the third quarterback, the third string defense, something like that. I mean, we're talking about one versus one and a very, very good secondary, and he was able to get free and make some things happen. So I thought that was great. What I'm looking for is, I really looked at the quarterbacks and the receivers. This time I want to see the line. There were some guys out, and there is, but I really think now's the time to really watch and probably fret over tackle play, because they are pretty inexperienced there. And Iowa's showed some, you know, some pretty good players on the edge for their defense even now, you know, with Wagoner and Van Valkenburgh. And I just want to see kind of how Jack Plum, Nick DeYoung, and maybe a couple other players hold up when in some of those pass rush situations.
It's going to be quite a day, Scott, when almost every team, save the wrestling team, The two basketball programs are going to be there. Luca Garza is going to get an award before the practice. So it'd be quite a day at Kinnick.
Yeah, it is. And it's, it's a shame that fans weren't able to go and watch either basketball team perform this year. Two of the most exciting basketball players in America in college sports. You know, Luca Garza, of course, the consensus and unanimous National Player of the Year. And Caitlin Clark, freshman, first-team All-American, is pretty impressive. So I think it's a good time that now that things are starting to kind of turn in the right direction regarding the pandemic, the fans can kind of salute those athletes. And the players themselves can kind of receive that applause that they weren't really able to get during the season. So I think that's going to be really nice. It's great for Luca Garza to accept that award. I really felt bad for him and for the fans too when you saw him break the school record for scoring, and usually you would have some sort of standing ovation and when he had his number retired and instead it was a great moment regardless, but it would have been so much better if there would have been 15,400 fans in there. And likewise, Caitlin Clark's going to be one of the most exciting players in the country. And nobody really got a chance to watch her this year in person. And so I think it's going to be a good salute to both.
Yeah, it will be. And, taking a look at what you talked about, you're going to look at the offensive line. I think one of the things to take a look at, and it depends a lot on the injury front as well, but the defensive line has had a lot of eyes on it as well, and I guess that goes in hand with going up against that offensive line, which has had some injuries as far as the spring is concerned as well. Will the defensive line be a little bit ahead of the offensive line, vice versa? That's going to be interesting, I think, to see on Saturday as well.
Yeah, it usually is. Just about every year, in fact, it's kind of a blowout. In favor of the defense because they start to really know where the ball is going and the play is going, so they're able to kind of follow it. It's difficult sometimes to place that kind of assessment of who wins and who's better just simply because they're doing it all the same. If they had no idea, like when they're going to get scout team or certainly an opponent, then I think that things are much different. But I want to see if there are any additional players that can – get in on defense. They were really light that day. No Y.A. Black. Logan Jones, I think, got hurt in the practice. Chris Reams has been out. They need some players to be able to step in and compete. And that's another thing I want to see. How does, any of those younger players compete with Tyler Linderbaum, who's the best center in the country? How do they stack up? Would they have a double team on, I don't know if this is the case, but if Y.A. Black's there, how does that work out? And how does he compete with the best center in the country? Because if he can hold his own, then you got a pretty good player there. But the defense always wins these matchups. I've seen some really bad ones. I think 2008 comes to mind when there was King and Kroll and Claiborne and Ballard and Pat Angerer and A.J. Eads, and they just swallowed up that offense in an open practice. And this was in the summer, and Sean Green Mark and I kind of counted, Morehouse and I think he had like 2 yards. And of course, he ended up winning the Doak Walker that year, but that's just the way it usually ends up.
Every spring, Scott, as you know, players emerge. And with several on the sidelines, maybe it's a hard question to answer, but your thoughts on emerging players, maybe like Black or Keegan Johnson or backup running backs, what have you?
Yeah, I thought when I first saw them, I went with like 2 guys that kind of caught my eye on each side of the ball. And on offense, Luke Lachey, a freshman tight end, a second tight end, really made some nice catches. He missed some blocks. That's going to happen, but that needs to improve. I thought he was really good. And same thing with Keegan Johnson. And he wasn't real efficient during the scrimmage part of things, but he looked the part out there, and I think that's important, that if he's already running with the ones, even without Nico Reganey, I think that's really impressive for him to do that in his first spring. And on the other side of the ball, the linebackers are there to kill people. I mean, frankly, Jack Campbell and Seth Benson are really vicious, and they are really good together. And I think they're going to be a great combination. And I was really impressed with Kayvon Merriweather, because Jack Kerner was out that day for practice. Just, I don't know if it was a precaution or he had an owie or something, but Kayvon Merriweather came in and played really well. And so I look at those guys. They're not, you know, in Merriweather's case, he was a starter last year, but he can be better. And if he could go from being kind of a pretty good player out there to being an elite level player, Iowa's really got something in him.
And of course, everyone out there, before we leave football and go to basketball real quick, most of the people at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday are going to have one person that they're going to be looking at, and that's the guy under center, the number one, and that's Spencer Petras. He's going to be the focus for most people out there.
He sure is, and so are Alex Padilla and Deuce Hogan. And I think what you look at with those guys, you know, for me, it's going to be a little bit different evaluation than probably a lot of fans. I mean, fans kind of have their favorites, even if they've never seen him before. Just a, hey, I hope he does well. I like his game. And then he goes out there, or he's from Texas. Let's see Deuce Hogan sling it. I think in this case, Spencer is puts a little bit of distance, I thought, between him and the other guys. Just, you know, his experience level, he did look a little bit more confident. You know, he's still got a, you know, he's not as accurate as you probably want him to be, but I thought he looked better just simply in that one little open. But I want to see the competition for number two, because I think that's where it's going to lie for this team going forward, and where you can kind of spot some sort of challenge going forward. And that is it going to be clearly Alex Padilla? Is Deuce Hogan right there with him? Can Hogan jump him? Because, you know, as through the summer progresses and they are more and more comfortable with the Iowa offense, you know, we saw last year with Spencer Petras, he wasn't perfect. And if they've got two really tough games right off the bat, and if he really struggles, then, you know, we're going to hear a lot of chirping, and I might be one of them chirping the loudest that they need to look at a change there. And so I want to see which quarterback kind of emerges of those two. My guess is that they might end up being fairly even now, and you'll see more separation in August.
Jordan Bohannon returning to the Iowa Hawkeye basketball team. Fran McCaffrey has tapped the transfer portal for a big man. Your impressions on the Iowa roster at this point, and is Fran Dunn adding pieces?
That's a great question, Mark, and I've been trying to bat around that. I mean, Jordan Bohannon really fits a role that they need. I mean, with C.J. Frederick leaving, they needed that two guard. They needed somebody to step in and be able to hit threes. I think it's a really good move for him, because you do want a point guard most of the time that can really, you know, is a little quicker, can drive a little bit better. But that said, I mean, Jordan's a really good assist player. I think he could play a role a lot like his brother Matt did at UNI and be outstanding in it. You know, this Philip Rebrasha, I think is how you pronounce it, from Serbia via North Dakota, I think he's going to be a really good addition for this team. Now, I will never predict anybody will ever play like Luka Garza again, but I think he's got the kind of skill set that works for Iowa. It's not usually, outside of Luka Garza, it's not usually a premium scoring position, but one that kind of works within the offense. I think he can score. I think he'd be really good. But as a whole, they're really going to miss a lot of pieces. I mean, they're missing four of their top contributors. When you look at, you know, obviously Garza, what if Joe Wieskamp stays in the draft? I think he probably will. C.J. Frederick transferring and Jack Dungy transferring. So those are big losses. I really like, you know, both Murrays, but, you know, Keegan, of course, has played more. And I think he's got the potential to be an all-Big Ten player next year. And I think you want to get the ball to him as often as possible. But I'm just, you know, I don't know if they're a piece away or what they want. But the danger is, if you bring somebody in through the transfer portal, they're going to probably want to play right away. And if they do, do you have any minutes for them? And that's the big question mark for me.
A guy I'm really looking at, and I hope people don't overlook him, is Tony Perkins. I think he came on big time at the end of this past season. I think I think the sky's the limit for this guy, and I think he's the breakout player next year, I guess. We'll see. Time will tell, but I hope we don't lose sight of Tony Perkins.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, that's the big fear, I think, that probably Fran had, you know, with bringing back Jordan Bohannon, if you would have continued to have C.J. Frederick, and that is, you know, if those guys get lost in a role for another year after this, then are they going to be saying, you know what, I want to play. I've been here, and there is an impatience that's associated with the transfer portal that you have to be cognizant of. And it's in basketball, it's quicker than it is in football even. And so you got to be cognizant of that. But I do think Tony Perkins has a chance to be a very good player, probably off the bench with Jordan Bohannon there. But I think their bench could be pretty good. If Aaron Ulis makes a step forward, if they can have, you know, Patrick McCaffrey, is he going to start or is it going to be Connor? I think Keegan Murray has to start. I would be surprised if he didn't. You know, what do the two freshmen bring? You know, Riley Mulvey and Peyton Sanford. I mean, are they going to be able to come in and contribute, or are they more redshirt candidates? And will Josh Agudelé be able to do something in the post, you know, rather than spell, you know, Rebrasia, you know, for that period of time? So I think that's really a, you know, there's a lot of questions, a lot of time to answer them. But I do think they've got good depth. But right now, you know, it's going to be a tough road, I think, for them to get to that level that they were this year or close to it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting and certainly a different season for Iowa basketball. Scott, always appreciate it. Enjoy the draft tonight. Keep up the great work at The Athletic, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Scott Dochterman from The Athletic joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter, and Athletic's got very, very good stuff. We'll take a break, come back, and have more of the gym class after this on KGYM.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. See store for details.
I should have been a cowboy.
Toby Keith and his Country Comes to Town tour.
So low,
Thursday, October 14th at the Extreme Arena, powered by Mediacom.
How do you let me know?
Toby Keith. Tickets on sale Friday morning at 10 at the venue box office and extremearena.com.
Whiskey for my man.
Toby Keith and his Country Comes to Town tour. Special guest, Matt Stell. Thursday, October 14th at the Extreme Arena, powered by Mediacom. Produced by Pepper Entertainment.
Next chance to win tickets coming up with Todd and Alex before 6 o'clock. Draft coming up at 6 o'clock. And round one coming your way tonight. All of our frequencies right here on KGYM. One piece of sad news today in the state of Iowa, Mark, an icon of college basketball passing away today, Buzz Levick, tremendous basketball coach up at Wartburg for many, 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 many years, passing away today.
Yeah, Buzz Levick died Monday at age 94 and won over 500 games at Wartburg and won 14 Iowa Conference championships and had one terrific team after another. Highly regarded guy, coached at Wartburg from 65 to 93. I was at Co in the mid 70s, watched many of his teams, sometimes Wax Co, but Co had some pretty good teams in there as well. But at the Division III level, he was one of the best.
He was. He will be missed. The announcement made today. We'll see how the draft goes. Trevor Lawrence going to go number one. More on Aaron Rodgers coming up. Will he stay a Packer? I think he probably will. They'll get this thing figured out. We'll see, though. That's the intrigue as far as draft day in the National Football League. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, and Barry Abrams joins us as well. Have a good night, everybody.
Today's pros need today's tools, and nobody understands that better than the Home Depot. Our app makes it